Help us minister. Enlarge our capacity to believe and receive. And you know he'll do it. Every time I get in the Word, read the Word, I say, Lord, you know, Lord, make your Word alive to me, God. Minister your Word to me as I read it, Lord. And a lot of times I don't see nothing right then, but you know, as time goes on, it'll be enlightened to me. Some situation or something, the Word will come alive, praise God. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we just praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, that quickens your Word, that knows your will and demonstrates your power to us, Lord. He enlightens us, Father God, through your Word. And I praise you by in our spirit, by your Spirit, God. We thank you tonight, Father, that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive and understand. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we will be enlarged, Lord. Enlarge our capacity to believe and to receive, God. And we thank you in advance for that, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that everyone that's connected to this ministry, Lord, a shield is about them. The shield of faith, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that no plague will go neither dwelling. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we're diligent to believe, that we receive from you for them, God. And all those that are connected to this church and those that are on their way, God, we just lift them up to you. We thank you, Father, that they are ministered to in their inner man by your Spirit, God. And we just praise you and thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this service, Lord, and in the future, God. And we'll be sure to give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. The diligent. You know, back before I got saved, I was diligent of a few things, you know. Making sure we had marijuana on the weekend, regardless if the lights were off or no matter what. You know, I was diligent to quit my jobs. I mean, I did everything, you know, contrary that would give us a good life. You know, and I mean, at that time, I'm thinking back, and I think over the course of time, you know, and I think back, and it just seemed to be normal to do that stuff, you know. But after I got born again, God began to, how many knows once you get born again, God begins to take your life in a whole total different direction. I mean, he just begins to turn you, you know, a lot of times we can't see the turn taking place, the transformation taking place as we seek the Lord. Heard a guy today, and we're very familiar with the scripture. I was listening to the preaching today while I was resting a little bit. But that Jeremiah 29:11 brought it up. You know, it says, he knows the thoughts, the plans he has for us to do us good, not evil, that we have hope for the future. And he said, you know, you hear that quoted a lot. He said, and nothing wrong with that. He said, but the very next verse, after that, he said, if you seek me with all your heart.
Right.
He said, and he made this statement. He said, see, he said, the will of God is not going to just automatically fall in our laps. And I believe that. I mean, I believe what he was saying, you know. And I thought, yes, we can know that God has a plan for us, but we got to work with the Lord. We got to work with the Holy Spirit, you know, and we got to yield to him. And I was just telling the Lord today, I said, Lord, Help me to be obedient to you, Lord. Help me not to sin against you, Lord. You know, and some of David, he said he hid his word in his heart that he might not sin against the Lord, you know. And so I was asking the Lord, help me to be all that you want me to be. And the Lord began to deal with me about diligence, you know, about being diligent. Diligence is something you don't see a lot in people's lives. I'm not judging nobody. I mean, that's up to whatever people want to do, you know. But because of a lack of diligence, that things don't get done. You can take it in the natural job or whatever, but we want to take it over into the spiritual side. We want to bring it over into the kingdom side, you know. I was thinking about, you know, I'm up there, and I feel like God gave me the land. Wherever you're at, you know, You're in the will of God wherever you're at, you know, and you got to keep vision whatever you're doing and let God help you where you are in life, you know. But I had actually quit cleaning off that land up there because I forgot that there was a lot more land, and I moved on to other things and projects, You know, and so the Lord put it on my heart to get a dozer. How come the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart? I necessarily didn't want one. I had too many. But I sold them all, you know, get them out of there. But the Lord put it on my heart to get one. I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not about that. If God wants me to give that away, it'll be gone. I'll sign it over to whoever. It's not about none of that. It's about being obedient to the Lord where we're at and moving forward and being successful where we're at, that we turn out into that plan that God has for us, you know. And he uses everything in it. There's seasons comes in our life. There's seasons that God brings into our life that causes us to grow. Hardship is not necessarily a bad season.
Right. Right.
Devils are not necessarily. You need a good devil. You need a good devil every now and then.
Yep.
You know? So you can use your weapons.
Yep.
So you can pull out that sword of the Spirit. You know? We need good challenges every now and then. It sharpens us, you know? Right. If we yield the right way, if we stay in the will of God. But anyways, Lord put it on my heart to get a dozer, you know? And I thought, I don't know. You know? So anyhow, I ended up, and I released my faith. So to say, and released my faith, and I said, God, okay, you say I need a dozer. I don't know why, you know, really. I thought, well, I'll go clean the valleys out and plant more grass. Maybe God's want me to increase cows or something, I don't know. You know? And so anyways, I released my faith. And boy, it's a big one. It's a big Cat 955, you know? It's a pretty good loader, you know? And so, anyways, I go out there and I start fooling around, you know. And then I thought, oh, yes, this ridge. I want this ridge. Now, it's done got pine trees, you know. They're, I guess, 12, 15 foot tall, real close together, you know. It's just thick with them. You can't see nothing but the trees, you know. And I'm there at the edge, and I thought, oh, gosh, man. I remember walking this valley when I first bought this, just walked up it. I thought then, man, I'll clean this ridge off. I thought, man, that'd be probably good. Anyways, I spent 2 days on, you know, two half a days on that thing, and I cleaned off about 10 acres. I mean, cleaned off of, I'm like, glory to God, there's more here than what I thought, Lord. But you know what I thought? I thought, I don't really want a dozer. I'm about done with this stuff. You know, I've been working over there 3 or 4 years, however long, you know, fixing this, that, and all that stuff. And the Lord told me, he said, the hand of the diligent will bear root.
Hallelujah.
And I thought, I don't feel like I want to go over and work, but I want to bear root. Yeah. Give me that scripture. Let's see that scripture. That Proverbs. The hand of the diligent shall bear root, but the slothful shall be put to force. One translation says labor. It'll be hardship on you if we don't be diligent.
Amen.
Diligent to pray. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Diligent to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Diligent. We got to be diligent to keep our confession in line with God's word. You know, I used to have this saying. Even after I become a Christian, I would say, I don't know what we're going to do. The Lord spoke to me one time. He said, why don't you say, I don't know yet what I'm going to do. He said, I'll tell you. I'll show you. Well, see, I'm confessing contrary to Scripture. Because the Bible says that we have an anointing and we know all things. So we got to be diligent to get our thoughts in line with the Word of God. And sometimes you're going to have to cast down negative thoughts. You're going to have to cast down thoughts of not feeling good, not wanting to go, you know. And I got all excited. Once I got to the bottom of that ridge, I looked up through there and I thought, praise God, hallelujah. Now I got to plant grass. I thought, oh, man. Then I thought, man, that other one ain't smooth over there. I'm going to have to box blade this whole thing. So see, now it caused more work. But if I want the end that I have a vision for, then I'm going to have to be diligent to go and do what I need to do to get the end result. See, if I want to be stay healed and I want a good marriage and I want to stay strong in ministry, all of this brings over to our whole life. Well, then I've got to be diligent. I've got to be diligent to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. He says he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind stayed on the Lord because they trust in him. There's a key. There's something there that reflects faith. He said, because they trust in him. See, if I'm really keeping my mind stayed on the Lord in all that I'm doing, that he's going to provide and supply and keep me strong and keep my family strong and all that and stay healed, then I've got to be diligent, stand on God's word, and then when something comes, go ahead and fight against it. I done rebuked everything that can try to hinder us and attack us. The Bible says no plague, but you know what? I can do that all day long. But us individuals, we got to be diligent to keep that word out there. They're coming up with a new variant. Something. I ain't been watching the news too much, but I hear it.
Zombie.
Yeah, whatever that dummy is. Well, we can't let no fear in. So we got to be diligent to get on that word and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, of timidity, cowardice, to bow down to this, praise God. See, he says the hand of diligence stay on top of it. He said they'll bear rule over it. I'd way rather be bearing rule than to be put to forced labor, to have things come against me, you know, because I wasn't diligent fighting battles I shouldn't have to fight. See, we can actually just let down and not be diligent and bring them battles into our life that we don't necessarily have to have. You know, I mean, if we'll, I'm getting up on reading the chapter. I haven't been with y'all like I ought to. But you're the pastor. I'm just like you. I either choose to do it or I don't. I'm either diligent or I'm not. And y'all won't suffer, I will. Hallelujah. We got to be diligent to keep our minds stayed on the word. Now, I know a lot of the Bible, but that don't justify getting in the Bible. I know a lot. I can quote a lot. And I do meditate on the word. I keep my mind on the word because there's things just like this year come up, the COVID deal come up, and I mean everything changed and still today. You know, doors, I ain't had no doors in a couple of weeks, I guess now. But you know what? Got a guy called today, he's going to pick up 5-4 tomorrow. Boom, baby. I ain't got to buy him. He done bought him. See, but I was having to do the transition in there, you know, and having to keep my mind stayed on the Lord, casting down those thoughts that bring fear that things ain't going to work out, that people ain't going to make no money, blah, 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 blah. See, I have to be diligent. If I don't, I tie the hands of God. The Bible says in Psalm 78 that they limited the Holy One of Israel with unbelief. I mean, if we're not diligent, it opens the door to unbelief and oppression and depression and all that stuff, you know. I'm convinced, Patricia was talking last night, was talking about, you know, people that's oppressed and all of that stuff, you know. And we figure, we're not with statistically, and I told her probably more than that. She said, I believe that, what was it we said we was talking about? Being oppressed, wasn't it?
Yeah, most of the time it's not because you have a medical condition, right, or a medical issue. Most time it's just you don't control your mind.
Don't control your mind. And I tell you, she said, I bet you I wouldn't be afraid to say that it's 80%. I said, I wouldn't be afraid to say that it's more than that. 80 to 90% of people that are oppressed, they think on the wrong stuff. They get on how they feel, how it looks, what people. I mean, you can even. I mean, I even have people here. You know, have had people over the years. You know, come and they don't like it because I don't read enough scripture. Some don't like it if I do read a lot of scripture. Some don't like it that I say certain things. You know, just certain ways or whatever. Some don't like it hot in here. Some don't like it cold in here. Some don't, you know, some don't like the music loud. Some don't like it too low. You know what I'm saying? And see, if I let it, that can take a bearing on me. Trying to please everybody. Don't want to lose nobody. Don't want to offend nobody. You know, that we can't do that. You can't do that. We just got to go and keep our mind stayed on the Lord and say, Lord, I can't please everybody. You got to do it too. And I'm not just talking about ministry. Because if you don't, that can oppress you. That can get you down in the dust. I've thought before, maybe I'm not a good preacher on account of that stuff. Right. And then they come a few services, you don't see them no more. They could have killed the whole ministry over a little bitty thing like that. Right. Over nothing. Get you some earmuffs if you don't like the music loud. Yep. Right?
Right.
If it's too low, get on up front, closer to the speaker. If it's too hot, sit on back toward the foyer. It's cooler back there. Or just sweat it a little for Jesus. Bear up under it a little bit. But you know what? We got to be diligent not to do that. We got to be diligent not to be too much people pleasing people. We got to please the Lord and want to be where we don't upset nobody. But not to the point to where we let that move us out of the place that God's got us, spiritually speaking. Or in church or whatever. But it says the hand of the diligent will bear root. We got to be diligent concerning prayer. Diligent concerning fasting. That's one thing that a lot of people don't do anymore, Christians. They don't fast. You know, fasting is a good thing. I mean, fasting is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful spiritual thing that me and you can do. It don't cost you. It saves you money.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can eat $20 a day,
yep.
But when I'm fasting, I save money. I don't do it for that, but it just hit me. You know, you save money. It won't hurt you a bit. People think they can't do it because they're starving. It's a mind thing. It's a mind thing. It's a mind over matter, praise God. Fasting, be diligent to fast. Fast often. Fast before the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sacrificing. If you just have to start one meal, just one meal, you know, just fast that meal and say, Lord, I'm going to start with one meal, Lord, and I'm going to fast, Lord. And I want to be closer to you. Do it for the right reason. Do it to be closer to the Lord. Do it to be more spiritually discerning. You know what the Spirit of God is saying in times of trouble and when times things ain't bad. Hallelujah. You know, but we got to be diligent. You know, when financial challenges come, every one of us will sometime or another face financial challenges. You can have money in the bank and God tell you to give it all away and you will be obedient to Him. You're a broke man. With all your bills due, still coming to you. But see, it ain't like God don't know it. God knows everything in our life. God uses things. God told me one time, He said, son, He said, trials are a chisel in my hand. He said, I want to mold you and make you what I've created you to be. See, in other words, God was telling me, listen, don't run from trouble. Don't always bail out of trouble. I don't like trouble, but hey, when it shows up, look, God, I'm going to climb that mountain. I'm not going back down from it, praise God. And you know what I realized? I realized I could have stopped things that's going to take place in my future in that land. See, everything that God, I don't own that, although it's paid for. The earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord, but He's lent it to me. He's lent that land to me. Or your land, or your vehicles, or your... God will tell you to buy stuff, and later on tell you, liquidate. And it'll bless you, hallelujah. I'm not saying... I mean, you need to be led in the Lord and all that, but if we are diligent to seek the Lord, diligent to fast, diligent to read the Bible, I'm telling you, that diligence will take us into a more hearing place with God. To where we just know, hallelujah, what we're supposed to do, praise God. To be constant. Diligent means to be consistent. day in, day out, day in, day out, consistent, not a roller coaster in it. We have to work on it. I have to work on it. I'm not perfected in any of it. I'm still growing. But I'm not where I was 10 years ago. I mean, you can't move me like you used to. Satan can't move me like you used to. With fear and all of that, you know. And you know what? People depend on us. Our family depends on us being stable and strong in the Lord, you know. And you know, not just a form of godliness, but have that godlike character, you know. I mean, he's faithful to us. He's diligent. I mean, he's diligent to back up his word. He's diligent to meet our needs. He's diligent in healing. All of that stuff. God is a diligent God. And the Bible says that God will not hold not one good thing back from those that walk upright with authority. Praise God. To be consistent concerning confession. People can think I'm dumb if they want to, but God, I know the Bible says it. It even says confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. That's confession. You know? The Bible, we know the Bible says in Proverbs 18:20-21, that death and life is in the power of the tongue. You know, I used to say, I hate work, I hate work, I hate work. And God dealt with me. God told me, he said, you go your whole life and have to work and not enjoy it. He said, or you can change your confession and you will enjoy the works of your hand. That was much better. When I changed my confession, all I changed, the Bible says, the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. So what's really in the heart is going to come out of my mouth. So if I'm thankful, I mean, I first had started telling the Lord, Lord, thank you for a job. Thank you, Lord, that I ain't quit. Thank you, Lord, I made it past 3 months. Thank you, Lord. Now I've been in the same job 20-something years. Don't even want to change. Hallelujah. And still enjoy it. I still enjoy it. Now, there's times I don't go. I'm getting more used to that. I ain't going. But it ain't because I'm lazy. I just don't want to. But see, you know, the hand of the diligent will bear root. I'm in a place where I don't have to go, Johnny. I've been doing it 30 years here. I don't have to do it. You know, the hand of the diligent will bear root. Wherever you're at today, be diligent because it'll lead you to bearing root. I bear room in my marriage. I didn't say my wife thought she thinks. I know she thinks I'm not perfect, but I'm close. I would lay my life down for my wife. I guarantee you I'd do it, buddy. I'd lay my life down for her. Praise God. I don't say that because she's here. I prove it. I don't talk about that lightly. You know. But see, I was diligent to stand on the word of God. That God, I'm going to love my wife. Because I didn't love my wife. I found out what love was when I got born again. And I seen how it hurt her and how it hurt her mama and how it hurt my family and all of that stuff. I couldn't see that. It's like I was blinded to it. The God of this world had my heart blinded, my mind, and all of that blinded. But when I got born again, I cried for 4 straight hours at work. My clothes were literally wet down to my knees from tears of cleansing in the presence of the Lord right after I got saved. Now, that don't happen to everybody. I'm not saying that. But you know what? Being diligent in that word caused me really to love my wife like I should. I won't commit adultery on her. I just won't do it. But God, ain't nobody catch my eye out there, praise God. But you know what caused that? Diligent on that scripture caused me to be one with the Lord. Caused me to be one with my wife. Caused me not to think that there's the grass is greener anywhere else. I don't need no greener grass. Hallelujah. But see, the Bible says the hand of the diligent bear root. We got to be consistent. If I believe that he supplies all my needs according to his riches, You know, God usually lets us get that down in our spirit while we got it. And then when times comes and he's got us out there, so to speak, in the wilderness, he's just giving us just enough. We gonna have an opportunity to be diligent on that word, even though you ain't got enough to get to working that. But being diligent on that word that he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches, casting down those, how we gonna do, what we gonna do, how is it gonna work out, where are we gonna get money, how's all these bills gonna, if we'll cast all of them down and let God rule in our minds and hearts in that he is faithful, then it opens the door for God to bring that supply.
Hallelujah.
See, it's not just in when you got plenty, you know, that we ought to be able to rejoice. The Bible says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall in the verse 10. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, endurance. And it brings fruit into your life, the next scripture after that. To stir oneself. See, you got to stir yourself up. Facebook don't do it for me. I mean, I'm on there and scriptures are posted every day. And I mean, it just don't do nothing for me. I don't know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the scriptures. Maybe the word they're sharing, they got it reading, and it inspired them. They just threw it out there, but wasn't for me. I mean, as the Bible says, the word's good in its time. See, a word from the Lord is it will be always in its time in your life and in my life. God knows exactly when to add to us. He knows when to spiritually feed us. But you know, if we're not going to the table, he can't feed us. To stir oneself, to decree. Diligent means you decree something that you're going to change. You're going to have a good life. You're going to be victorious. You're going to come out on the other side winning. You've got to decree that. You've got to stand steadfast on that. And you've got to keep your mouth shut contrary to what you're decreeing. Don't decree something now and then something don't work out and then step out of that decree. You just wasted it.
Yeah.
You just wasted it. See, I believe after I had open heart surgery, but God, that I was going to be better than I... And you know, statistics in my family, you know, that I knew it had open heart surgery, they never was the same. They never was. They never were better than I remembered them. They were actually worse. But you know what? I made up my mind, but God, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everybody out there is not my evidence. Not Googling it, not everybody's experience. See, we gotta believe based on the Word of God, no matter what the surroundings tell us and people's experience. We never believe anything based on somebody's experience or ours. And you know what, praise God, I believe God and believe God for a speedy recovery. I'm not saying I just flashed through it without any challenges. I didn't say that. I had many. And I wanted to quit, and I felt like I would never, but God, but I mean, I'm in better shape right now than I've been in 15 years. And I'm not saying it by faith.
Right.
I can drive fence post, and ain't no way I could have done in the church. I had some posts up there. I chose not to get the hole digger. But God, I wanted them post hole diggers. I didn't hook a tractor up. I had it up there. I thought, but God, I don't want it. I want to do it the old-fashioned way. I got those post-toe diggers and I did it on purpose. And I thought, I'm good. Hallelujah. I'm up there all by myself just enjoying, sweating, digging those holes. Well, don't the Bible say that he'll bless the works of our hands? Hallelujah. Tell yourself and say it out of your mouth, I love my job. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One word. I know it's hard. That's why most people don't do it. But that's why they just go through life, work, and just they don't like it. They don't enjoy it. Travis, he's in a hurry. He's always in a hurry. He's going headed home when he leaves home. You know, and I told him one day, I said, well, let's try to enjoy our job. Let's don't be so quick that we can't enjoy it. Let's enjoy the impact. I did. I mean, I'm enjoying putting those springs down. I don't know if they did or not, he did or not, but I'm going to enjoy the works of my hands. I'm not going to be there just miserable all day long until I get home. No, I'm not going to do it. Life is too short for that. But I'm going to enjoy my life as I go. And you know, being diligent in the Word of God and prayer and fasting and all of that will help you to enjoy where you're at, even though it might not be favorable. To decree, to move forward. God wants us moving forward. Whatever we're doing, He wants us moving. You know, and I got down to the bottom of that valley, I was telling you, you know. And I looked up and I thought, glory to God, look at all this land. Man, this is beautiful. I mean, you know, and then I went to the top and I'm standing on the top and all the trees is not blocking the beautiful view down through there. And then the wind's able to come up through there even more. And I'm standing there with victory. I'm like, glory to God, hallelujah. I did this in about 6 hours with that dozer, Lord. Glory to God, I mean, I got one I can move some dirt, dig up some stumps, man. I mean, I moved a pile. I mean, it's a machine. I don't even have to help it. And then I got done and I got back to the top and I thought, glory to God, I can't wait till I get down there. That pine I've been working on for 3 years. But God, I'll tear it up in a half a day. I got a machine now moving some dirt. But you know what? All I'm saying is, see, I've been diligent and I won't quit and I'm going to have what I want over there as long as the Lord's pleased with it. And when I do go over there, I say, God, is it okay if I go over there today, Lord? Can I go over there today, Lord? How many know the Bible says in Proverbs, we need to be diligent over there, just like the Scripture says in Proverbs. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your, in all your ways acknowledging, and He'll direct your path. Hallelujah. I try to ask the Lord, is it okay, Lord? Is it okay if I go over there, Lord? Praise God. I know it's okay if you wash the dishes. You don't have to ask God. You got an anointing for washing dishes. Ladies, we're talking to the ladies now. You got an anointing to wash them clothes. You got an anointing to raise them kids up in the admonition of the Lord. You got an anointing to discipline your kids. If you don't discipline your kids, you'll be put to forced labor. I'm not talking about beat them with a belt. I'm talking about two parents getting in line together, agreeing on stuff, and each one of them do their part, stand as one. And God anoints that. God anoints it. He don't anoint me letting Travis do things that I knew that Teresa didn't want him to do. I had to throw down my emotions and all that and say, what did Mama say? What did Mama say? And you know what? I believe he's doing it. Him and Beth, they're doing a good job with their kids today. I believe on the count of the way I raised them. But you know what I did? I went over there and I said, God, I need to know how to be a father, Lord. I need to know how to be a daddy. See, you need to ask the Lord, how do I be a father? How do I be a mother? How do you want me to be? Because you know what? How they see us is going to determine how they are in their life. I'm telling you, the words of Teresa's words are like solid gold to Aubrey. I mean, she'll ask her, Grandma, are you telling me the truth? And she'll say, Grandma don't lie. And Grandma don't lie to you. We've never lied to her. We won't lie to her. You know, I've faced it with Santa Claus and all, Easter Bunny and all of them with. And by God, I've never lied to her. I won't lie to her. I will not. Well, see, why I'm telling you, because when I'm diligent that way, I bear root. Things, I'm on top of things. Things work out. Hallelujah. Right. To stir one, to decree, to move forward. If we are going to obtain victory and keep it, we must train ourselves to be diligent. God's people need to be diligent and need to have self-control. Hallelujah. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God, is self-control. I mean, we're just laid back. You can't force us quickly. I don't really make quick decisions. I ponder things. I'd have went down there and built the road down there at that pond. How to get down in that? I'm going down in there, baby. I'm going in the belly. I'm going to bring her out from the inside out. Well, I got that scripture out of the Bible where it says, ponder the path of your feet, that all your ways be established. I call it making plans. I built my barn before I built it. I dream about ministry of doing it before I get there. Hallelujah. I'm all excited about the men's thing. I thought about Monty. I thought, well, he's going to have an opportunity like all the rest of us, you know. If you've been diligent in the small, he'll make you rulers over much. I thought about the scripture where it says, you know, don't be discouraged in small beginnings. Because Monty said, that might just be us three. Well, it don't make no difference. We obey the Lord. Obeying the Lord is more important than the natural there. You know, in that. Hallelujah. And if you be diligent in it, I told the Lord today, I said, Lord, I said, I've been diligent for 21 years other than one service at that church. And Lord, I want some new folk. I want them to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I don't believe in losing anything that you've sent us. And Lord, I want double for my trouble. I want double for everybody that's left. I want two people for everybody that's left, Lord. Lord, I've lifted it up and prayed for them and released them, praise God, to go do their own thing. Praise God, hallelujah. But Lord, raise up that army to do the work of the ministry there, Lord, that you want even in the future. Why did I tell you that? Because I'm not going to be diligent until everybody ain't showing up and then just quit. See, whenever challenges comes, it ought to make us gear up just a little bit more and say, oh yeah, devil, you should not have messed with us. You should have went somewhere else to that person that don't have no faith, because we're diligent, but God, and we're fixing to kick you. I'm trying not to cuss. Hallelujah. Diligent to stand on the word in everything that challenges us. But not just in the challenges, stand on the word all the time. Yeah. That way when the challenge comes, you ain't going to have to struggle to get on the word. You already going to be a word stander. You already going to be a word embracer. You're already going to be one that's got the victory, although you ain't got nothing to get the victory over yet until it gets to you. See, sometimes God, not sometimes, God prepares us for future battles. He prepares us for challenges in our lives. There's different chapters of our life. I'm almost 55 years old. I remember when I was 35, but I'm not going to say those were the good old days. No, I'm a lot wiser right now than I was when I was 35. I made a lot of stupid decisions, but God, and now I'm about to make way better decisions, so I'm better off at 55 than I was 35. So we got to think this way, though, is all I'm saying. We got to train our mind, cast down those thoughts and imaginations that try to bring us into bondage to where we're not diligent. Travis, he come in the other day and stayed up too late. I said, you knew better. Why wind them in, Dave? We hear this ever so often. I mean, if you're that dumb, I mean, do you know it's coming? I mean, you look at the clock, 10, two more movies. Then you look at it, 11, well, one more movie. Well, you know, that's kind of stupid going to see when you know you got to work. And bringing you a good old fat harvest. You're going to feel like a dog all day. Hallelujah. None of y'all do that, do you? We went and watched... We didn't have satellite and all this stuff and all. We had Sky Angel on. And Prison Break had just come out. We discovered that somebody told us about Prison Break. So every Friday I go over there and I rent a VCR over at Cleveland over there. And, buddy, we watch an episode of Prison Break.
That was Jason.
Was it Jason?
Yeah, Prison Break had been out.
Oh, yeah. That, Jason.
Is what that was.
It was scary back then.
It was 85.
But I remember the prison break. We got on episodes of that prison break, and I didn't want to look that horror stuff, man. Try to bring fear out of it. I don't like people. But you know what? Saturday night, man, we just couldn't go to bed. I couldn't quit watching prison break. Because they leave you at the last thing. I mean, you've got to know what's going to happen. You just got to. How many knows they built that for that? They built that for you. People know us better than we know ourselves.
Yep.
They built that to control the mind, man, to get you to go spend some more money.
Yep.
It's all about money. And you know what? Boy, I mean, we stayed about 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, man, I gotta get them up. I ain't never done it yet, guys. I just want her to get on them episodes.
Man.
I mean, I didn't feel good all day at church or nothing else. Didn't feel good Monday. Stayed up all weekend watching Prison Break. Travis is in the same battle. Hey, enjoy the ride, baby. Daddy done told you. Just cut it off. Cut it off at 10 o'clock. Get in bed like a man ought to where you feel good the next day. Where we don't have to drag everything in. Dave load everything. I'll be there in a minute. 8 minutes later, sure. We got everything loaded. Now he finally come on in. Hey, just got this my son doing. I'm strong. Put the force labor. Didn't Dave feel good? We all happy, and he's over there don't feel good. It never pop hole. I know what he don't feel. He's drawing the pot hole. That boy can, I mean, the only pot road on the dirt road, and he found it. The whole dirt road. Hallelujah. See, I got to be diligent not to let him get on my nerves. And he eats. I mean, the boy, he's sloppy. He could chop down a foot long in just a minute or three. And then, boy, I'm telling you, I shouldn't have done that. He said the other day, I shouldn't eat all that. I said, man, you say that every day. You know better. But you still do it? He's over there. It's smack. I don't know how he does that tongue to smack so loud. I don't know how his kids eat in the same room with him. But you know what? I'm still working with him. I'm diligent, baby. I just keep, I'm kind of like a Tyvek. I just take a lick and keep on ticking. I roll a window down to damper the down. And then the drink. You can hear it swallow, sound like a bottom of a bunk keg. I'm on you, son, now. It's all good, though, praise God. But you know what? We got to be diligent. Diligent to stand on the Word of God. Don't be devil-minded and circumstance-minded. Don't go around all times the troubles that you got in your life and just meditate on those. You can be diligent in the wrong way and cause yourself to be oppressed. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Got to be diligent to be victory-minded, word-minded, victory-minded, win-win-win-minded. Hallelujah. I'm coming out-minded. I'm going to change-minded. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, you can't just sit down and say things are just not going to change. They won't change because we're the ones that brings the change through our diligence. Because we have an anointing from God, we're anointed. We are kings and priests unto God. We've been chosen. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're created to bring glory and praise to God. We're created by Him, by His Spirit, to bring spiritual sacrifices to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you know when you're trusting God, it's a type of praise?
Amen.
You know, we think praise is just when we strum the guitar and lift our voice, but it's not. When we're honestly trusting the Lord by ourselves, when we're trusting the Lord, casting down, we're praising Him. Really. Don't be devil-minded and circumstance-minded. Be Lord-minded, victory-minded. Keeping our mind on the Word is keeping our mind on the Lord and our hearts fixed on Him. And the Bible says we'll be kept in perfect peace because of it in Isaiah. Diligent. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says showing painstaking effort. That means, you know what I mean? To be diligent sometimes is painful. That's why a lot of people don't do it. I mean, being diligent, to make up our mind to be diligent, I mean, just like I told Teresa, I told her, what's her chapter? I'm making it a point, I'm going to read that chapter before I leave that house. Because in the evening, I done worked all day, and I come in to go get wood, and whatever I'm doing, and I don't read. So I'm making it a point, I'm reading my chapter before I go to work. I'm doing it. I'm going to. I started it, and I'm going to finish it. But you know what? I can get up in the morning, and I can say, well, you know, Lord, I read one yesterday. That's not being diligent. I mean, if I was Travis and I was going to be late, it would be because I'm reading the last bit of my chapter. I would run late only if the chapter is the problem. Not being funny. Read the Bible. You know, when Facebook and all that come out, I could read for hours how much that tractor is, how much that dozer is. And when it comes to that Bible, I'd be like, God, man, are you serious? Read the Bible. And the Lord told me, he said, you don't have no problem with what you're interested in. He said, the things that you're interested in, he said, you don't have no problem. He said, you will be diligent in it. He said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. He said, if you'll give me the attention, you give things that you like, he said, you will hunger for me. He said, you will want me. You'll want my word. You'll want more of it. He said, you'll want more of my spirit. How many knows that what we focus on becomes bigger to us? If we focus on problems, they'll just get worse and worse and worse. Because, you know, you can take one problem that ain't too bad, and you focus on it, it's bad enough. But then here will come two or three more. And then they'll gather themselves together until before you know it, all you can see is a mountain of trouble. But if you're word-minded, all you see is is challenges and opportunity to go higher, to be better, to get stronger, to go on into the destiny that God has for you. I don't know where God's taking me. I honestly don't yet. You know, I don't know what I'll be doing in 5 years, but you know what? I got to be successful where I'm at right now. Where when it gets 5 years later that I'm strong enough to handle the things that God's going to bring into my life 5 years later, and you. I mean, I remember when Travis turned into a teenager, he listened to my mom, and you know, boy, when you get 16, you just come live with mama. Happening to be rebellious. She didn't mean to, she loved him. I mean, she would have moved him right on in there and everything. I mean, she loved him. She didn't mean to, but that was helping him to rebel. And they all move out. Said, get your underwear. Trace said, you leaving here with your underwear, boy. I'll go live with Mama. I said, you're going to pay me. If you're going to live with Mama, you're going to pay me. I'm going to charge him rent to live with Mama. Because I'm going to give Mama the money. Said, you got a light bill, water bill is going to go up, right? You got all that? You know what it helped him? Be a man. He decided, pray God, he'd just stay at home where he didn't have to pay no bills. Then he wants to get married. And I told him, I said, well, I mean, if we train our kids right and our grandkids right, I mean, you know, I told Travis, going to get married. I said, where y'all going to live? You're never living with us. You're not going to come live with mom and dad. That's out. That's ungodly to me. I've raised you, now get out. Go get your own life, homeboy. I'm finally free. And then he moves right out to under and brings his kids every Tuesday night. I got double trouble. But you know what? I told him, I said, listen, you're going to have to get her somewhere to live. Y'all gonna have to get somewhere to live before you get married. Get you somewhere to live. She's gonna need a car. She's gonna need a refrigerator, a washer, dryer, and groceries every week. Oh, he said, blah, 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 blah. Well, he found out groceries was high. Spent $40 the first week. Called me, God, Dad, groceries are kind of high. I'm like, that's how come Mom told you to get out of that refrigerator. You ain't eating in between meals.
Man.
Y'all still enjoying this diligent stuff?
Man.
See, it brings an anointing into our lives to where our lives pan out God's way and God's anointing. And then we're shielded from the enemy. And don't even see when he comes, the blessing is working in our life, which is simply an empowerment from God because we're diligent and we bear root.
Hallelujah.
Now, you know, I mean, even when circumstances comes into our life because of other people, that's out of our control and all of that, we got to be just as diligent when it comes as when it wasn't there. Nobody should be able to tell when you're in a trial. Everybody feel sorry for me. That's not going to help you. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. People can comfort me. People can comfort. You know, my mom passed away. And it greatly affected me. I mean, I love my mom dearly. I wasn't saved with my dad, and I didn't, you know, I regretted a lot of stuff. And when I got saved, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, your word says to honor our mother and father. Well, I didn't get to honor my father like I needed to, but God, I'm going to make it up on my mom. And I mean, I honored my mom, and I mean, I never talked down on her, you know, or anything. I respected her, and I made her feel independent when she wasn't independent. I made her feel that way. She felt like she was in control at 83 years old. She wasn't. She was bedridden. She'd pick up that phone, call on my sister. I bought her a cowbell one time. Need to stand outside too much. Can't hear. So I went and carried her a big old cowbell. And I said, well, here you go. I said, when you want something, I said, you ring that cowbell. Bling, bling, bling. She drove her nuts with that cowbell. She got the cowbell and hit it. And my sister called me, and I said, you better give her that cowbell back. I will be right over there if you don't give her the cowbell. I bought the cowbell so you can hear her when she needs something. Call it rude if you want to. No, I set up to honor my mother. And I told my sister, you know, she won't be here forever. There'll come a time when you would like to hear that cowbell. I said, I'm not going to have any regrets when my mama leaves. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you what the Word of God did and transformed me and give me authority and give me victory in that and give me victory in my own life. Victory. Victory in her trials and victory in my trials. I told her, I said, if you don't want no regrets, I said, you better honor your mama while she's here. I said, because I know right now you're having to face and go through, but it'll be worth it in the end. You'll have good memories of your mama. Now, whether she did or not, don't know. I ain't asked her. I hope she did. But I knew she'd be diligent in that, she would bear rule in that. Hallelujah. See, some of y'all going to face that stuff. Your grandmothers, your mothers, they might get on your nerves. My mama got on my nerves. She was an Indian. She partly believed the Lord. She was saved. She just wasn't real deep. You know? Yeah, she got on my nerves. She sure did. She got on my nerves. She never knew it. Things she wanted to do would get on my nerves. She never knew it. You know why? Because the Bible says honor your father and mother. It didn't say when they're good, when they're bad, when they're ugly, if they're saved or not saved, or if they're rude to you or whatever. It just says honor them. And it comes with promise, the Bible says.
Right.
diligent, showing painstaking effort to apply in whatever comes our way. Do it no matter how you feel. Do it no matter what it looks like. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that it's He, God, that gives us power to obtain wealth that He might establish His covenant with us. It's an empowerment. We're empowered by the Lord. We're empowered to be diligent. An anointing comes on us when we put first efforts first. Then the anointing begins to show up and bring the transformation in our lives. It's not even us doing it then. We're just giving the Word of God and the Holy Spirit free rein to do what he set out to do. Give me that Psalm chapter 1, then we're going to close. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, and his law does he meditate day and night. Go ahead. This is what it does. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And you know, God reminded me of this scripture, run across the duty goes to redeem. They had come in there one morning as some of them said going to work. Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, I want you to give that boy $100 and tell him to split it between them boys. This has been 4, 5, 6 months ago. So I just went over there to him and I said, hey man, I said, here man, I just want to bless y'all today. I said, take us $100 to your boy and get some change and you know, split it between y'all guys. I think it was four of them. Oh man, that's a blessing, blah, blah, blah. You're Pastor Scotty, yeah. And anyhow, I run across one of them today. He was down there, we told him. He run across the parking lot, he said, hey brother. I said, how's it going, man? He said, blessed, I'm blessed, man. He said, God told me to open my business. Open a business, he said. He said, I started doing some siding, soffit and stuff. He said, now mind you, Lord told me to. I'm praying, seeking the Lord for his direction, all that. Lord told me to. He said, then this guy needed some gutters. He said, I had him nearly talked into buying them at Lowe's, you know, and I could put them up, and chap, go back and seal them after that 2 or 3 years, you know. He said, and the old dude just ain't going to have that kind of gutters. He said, well, let me see if I can get in contact with some gutter guys. He's telling me the story. He said, because you know, the Bible says that whatever we do will prosper.
Right.
And I said, well, yeah, hear the Lord like you're saying. He said, I started thinking about it. He said, the Lord said, I want you to get a gutter machine. He said, Lord, I don't got no money. He said, I want you to go to that bank down there and told him what bank to go to. Down in Nottingham down there. He said, I ain't never been in that bank before. I ain't never been, man. My credit ain't good. I said, okay. I ain't got nothing to lose. Whatever I do prospers now. I'm following you. Goes down there to the bank. They didn't even get no collateral, man. He borrowed $10,000 on his signature. He said, I felt like, you know, that God sent something before me and softened their heart, dealt with them or something, man. He said, I went in there. He said, and they just did it. He said, so I bought a machine and all. He said, I bought everything I needed, you know. He said, and I'm fixing to get some cards. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you keep following the Lord like you was before the Lord. Honor him. I said, and believe him. I said, he'll raise you up. I said, he'll prosper you. I said, I already know that because I'm almost 28 years of doing what I just said in the garage door business. I said, and God has been good to Scotty. I said, and he'll do it for you, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Be diligent to read. Be diligent to seek the Lord. Pray about things. Pray. Just tell the Lord that you love him. Don't go to him just wanting something all the time. Just go to him. Fellowship with him. Be diligent to fellowship. You know, I mean, even after, I mean, I was on that dozer. I know it don't mean nothing to you, but I've had a bunch of junk. And I've had to work on everything before I could even do anything. Work a half a day on it, use it for 3 hours, work on another half a day and use it for 2 more hours. This one ain't quitting. This one is just smooth, man.
Amen.
And so I'm running, I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord. I really do thank you, Lord. Not for this piece of machine here, Lord, but I just thank you, Lord. You know, I love you, Lord. You know, I was just thankful that he's in my life. I would have never got to experience all that I've experienced up to this point without him. And I know it, praise God. So I want to encourage you, be diligent. Just work on it. Ask the Lord to help you, praise God. Let's bow our